What's the purpose of my life? What should be the target or the focus of my life? When I wake up every day to have something to look forward to, something to shoot for, something to goal, a goal. What is the purpose of my life? I had one of these moments myself, one more impactful moment in my own vocation story before leaving my job, working right outside of New York City. I found myself after the military at about 27 years old, working outside of New York City as an IT project manager. And every now and then I had to go in the city. And I love to go down to the Weehawken Ferry. Those of you who are from New York know what I'm talking about, near the Lincoln Tunnel. You go down there, you park. It's about $5. Then you can take the ferry across. And the ferry was rather peaceful. I love being near the water. You're going across the Hudson River and you're going, the water's going and all that. And sometimes I get to the front of the boat and I'd be there. And I found myself at the front of the boat and looking at the skyline in New York City. And I saw the Empire State Building and I was like, in my heart, who built that building? Who was the architect for that building? Who were the men and women that labored to make that building what it is today? And where are they now? Because that building was built many years ago. And it caused me in that moment of silence, going to work, going to a meeting in New York City to reflect on what is the purpose of my life? My life and time, but a life that's meant forever and eternity. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ, in his living word to get today, the voice changes. It was Deacon Mike proclaiming the gospel, but it's Jesus Christ, the eternal word that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that speaks to our heart today, independent of our age, speaks to us and talks to us about his heavenly Father and answers the question. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. I know next weekend, Friday night, and then Saturday we have confirmation. I don't know, it's in the ballpark of maybe 130 plus teenagers that are gonna step out in what I like to call, being from Atlanta, Georgia, I like to call it the Catholic altar call. It's an altar call. They come up on their own free will and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, committed to follow him in this life, which is something beautiful. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, godparents, family members, coaches, teachers, who have introduced me to Jesus. I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I know I want to follow him. And that's happening next weekend. And I remember a few years back, I was slotted to go speak at a parish to some students preparing for confirmation, and I was supposed to talk to them about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And in my prayers, I reflected on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I realized I didn't have those fruits memorized. I didn't know them. How am I, as a priest, going to go talk to a bunch of teenagers about the fruits of the Holy Spirit when myself, I don't even know them? And why wouldn't those fruits, if we're called to bear fruit that will remain, much fruit, what's the fruit our Lord's talking about? It's that. It's producing, with the help of God's grace, the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, I'm not going to go through each fruit, even though I would love to, but this will be a three-hour mass. Actually, we had a family from out of country that was here for a First Holy Communion last night. The mom came running up and said, "Father, all my family is from Haiti. They're here from Haiti. And if mass is anywhere short of 2 hours, they're gonna go home saying, we dressed up for all this and it's that short." They're used to 3 hour mass. I said, "All right, green light, hour homily." No, I'm not gonna do that to y'all, but I'd love to go through, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit, 12 of them: goodness, kindness, gentleness, generosity, peace, patience, joy, charity, modesty, chastity, faithfulness, self-control. It's the 12 fruits. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit in our families, in our lives. So you little ones, Jesus is coming to you in the Eucharist. You're receiving him. He's coming to strengthen you so that you can go back to your homes, above all your domestic churches, and celebrate that you're going to do, which is good, and that those fruits will come out. Many of you may be getting, and if you're not getting it, tell me, your parents can tell me, and I'll give you one. Going out the door. Got them in the closet. But you may be getting a crucifix. Maybe one that you wear around your neck, or one that you're going to put up on your wall. And we have crucifixes because it reminds us that it was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross, it was his love. His love kept him there. So we look at the cross and we see how much God loves us and all humanity, that it wasn't the nails. He could have come down. It was his love. And in another part of John's gospel, chapter 12, verse 24, it's good if we memorize scripture. It's a good thing because then we can carry it in our heart everywhere we go. John 12, 24, Jesus says this, only if a seed dies and is buried in the ground will it bear fruit. He was talking about his life going to the cross for us, knowing that the fruit of the cross would be your first Holy Communion. The fruit of the cross would be baptism. The fruit of the cross would be confirmation. The fruit of the cross would be the outpouring from his sacred heart. So here's an invitation for you little ones and us adults too. And I just put it out there because it's not enough to talk to talk. Got to walk the walk too. When I was talking to those confirmation students, I said, Richard, you don't even have those fruits of the Holy Spirit memorized. Write them down. Type them out. Tape them to the bottom of the crucifix, all 12 of them. And even to this day in our rectory, as I exit the door, I look at the crucifix and I look at the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's a goal. That's a purpose in life. What's my purpose? To bear much fruit, to bring these 12 fruits into my life, into my school, into my place of work, into my home, into my parish, and to set a goal every day, to do the best with the help of God's grace to achieve that purpose. Now, we had it this past week. I watched the NFL draft. People are like, he's talking about football. But there's a lot we can get about it. Watch the NFL draft, because I love to hear the stories of the young, of the people who they achieve a goal. Last night, I had the immense grace of going out to dinner after the 5 o'clock mass with a young man who just graduated college, who's going to the NFL. He was talking about but he loves Jesus. And he's actually saying, Father, how do I become Catholic? And we went out to talk about that. It was beautiful. And he wants to be a witness as he was on his football team and all that stuff. He wants to do that. So there's a lot we can learn about the things that we love in life, and we can do those things and bear much fruit. There are a lot of believers in the NFL and the NBA and in the different sports that are out there. They're out there. I've seen them as chaplain Atlanta Braves, as helping out with the Panthers last year with their masses. I'm not bragging, but it was good, and it's really good when the seasons don't go as well as you'd like, because then you're really there to love those that are struggling. So watching the draft, I saw one young man who got picked out as a receiver, I believe a receiver for one of the teams, and it was telling his story in between the drafts, how as a little boy, maybe even in second grade or third grade, he set the goal for the NFL. And what he did is he put above his doorway a piece of paper, blank piece of paper that just had the letters NFL. There were moments when he struggled and the workouts were hard and he didn't think he could make it and he was struggling, but he kept at it. Coaches and different people helped him, but he set his goal and he achieved that goal. He achieved that goal. But let's think about that. That's a great accomplishment. There's many accomplishments we can have in life. But let's say there's a Pro Bowl. Let's say there's multiple Super Bowls. Let's say there's a whole 14-year career. The question is going to be still, what's next? What's next? My brothers and sisters in Christ, what's next is the end zone of eternal life. What's next is the call to participate and glorify God forever. And so by this, our Father is glorified, but that we bear much fruit and become his disciples, followers of the way. Followers of the way. So here's the close. I'm going to put a nice bow on the package and finish the homily. Come in for landing. It's done here. Here's an invitation, and it's the same invitation that I offered to this young man who's trying out for the NFL. Put G2 on your cleats. Maybe put G2 on your notebook, G2 on your mirror when you brush your teeth, maybe even on a blank piece of paper above your doorway, write G2, two G's, or GG. As a purpose, a focus in life. Two G's. Glorify God. Glorify God. Glorify God.